Hello, and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies. I'm Rachel Isaacs, a student from Manalapan, New Jersey, and the engineer for this program. We look forward to learning some Torah with you today. Thank you for tuning in. Today we are joined by Rabbi Meir Schweiger, a faculty member and the Mashgiach Ruchani, or spiritual guide at Pardes, who will be teaching us about Parshiot Behar Sinai and Bechukotai. A few quick announcements, and then we'll hand it over to Rabbi Schweiger. Do you have a vision for the Jewish future? Have you considered a career in Jewish education? The Pardes Educators Program includes 2 years of subsidized study and living in Jerusalem, leading to an MA degree in Jewish education. Graduates teach Judaic studies in day schools in North America. For more information, see the Pardes website at www.pardes.org.il. Your participation and feedback is vital for the success of the podcast series. Please send us comments on the episode, where you live, and how you heard about us. Send your email to podcast@pardesusa.org. Thank you. That's it, and now Rabbi Schweiger.
Thank you, Rachel. This week, in fact, there's a double portion, which concludes the book of Vayikra, Parshiot Behar and Bechukotai. I would like to examine the beginning of Parshat Behar, and if time allows, maybe we'll just see how the beginning comes up also in Parshat Bechukotai. The first topic in Parshat Behar is the sabbatical year. This is chapter 25, verses 2 through 7. So let's look at the verses and see what are the different elements of the sabbatical year and what are the ideas behind them. Daber, chapter 25, verse 2. Daber b'nei Yisrael v'yamarta aleihem, speak to the Jewish people and say to them, Ki tavo el ha'aretz, when you come to the land, asher ani noten lachem, which I am giving you, v'shavta ha'aretz, the land shall cease, Shabbat l'Hashem, a cessation to God. Shesh shanim tizra sadecha, 6 years you will plant in your field. V'shesh shanim tizmor karmecha, and 6 years you will prune your vineyard. V'yasafta et tvuata, and you will gather your grains. U'vashana hashvi'it, and in the 7th year, Shabbat Shabbaton yiyeh la'aretz, it will be a cessation, total cessation for the land. Shabbat l'Hashem, a cessation to God. Sadecha lo tizra, v'charmecha lo tizmor. You should not plant in your field, and you should not prune your vineyard. Et tzfiach kitzircha lo tiktzor. I will translate this as the things that grow of themselves. You should not harvest. Ve'et inve nezirecha lo tiftzor. And also with respect to the grapes, not only in terms of the produce. Shnat Shabbaton yela aretz. This will be a cessation for the land. V'hayta Shabbat ha'aretz lachem, and the cessation of the land will be to you, lo'ochla, to eat. L'cha, to you, u'l'avdecha v'la'amatecha, to you and your servant and your maid, v'l'schircha, your hired hand, l'toshchavcha, your resident, ha'garim imach, who dwell with you. V'livhem techa, and to your animals. V'lachaya asher be'artzecha, and to the wild beasts in your land. Tiyeh chol tfuata le'echol, shall all the produce be to eat. The first thing which I want to examine is a very interesting progression that you have in terms of who is this year for. If I look at verse 2, it says, V'shavta ha'aretz Shabbat l'Hashem, that the land will, and I am translating shavta, cease, a cessation to God, which means what I'm doing in the sabbatical year is somehow dedicated to God, is for the sake of God. If I go a few verses down, what we're told in verse 5, at the very end, Shnat Shabbaton yiyeh la'aretz. It will be a cessation, a sabbatical year for the land. And then, if I look at verse 6, V'hayta Shabbat ha'aretz lachem. This sabbatical year of the land will be to you. So that, in fact, the cessation of work which is done in this year is being directed towards three different subjects: to God, to the land, and to us, to the people. And let's look at each of the elements with the respective laws and the ideas, as I said, behind them. The first thing, the idea of Shabbat Lashem. So we have laid down in verses 3 and 4, 6 years you will work the land, and in the seventh year it is a Shabbaton. And then it lists what you shouldn't do. Don't plant. Don't prune. Last week we spoke about the festivals. And in the section of the festivals, we spoke about Shabbat as being the head of the list of festivals. And that, in fact, what characterizes all of the festivals is this idea of cessation of work. What's true about the festivals in terms of time, which means that every seventh day or at various appointed times during the course of the year, I stop working. And by stopping to work, I acknowledge that ultimately God is the creator. We spoke about this last week. I acknowledge that ultimately I am in control of my creation as opposed to be enslaved to my creation. We take that idea one step further when it comes to the sabbatical year and extend it to the land, which means that not only do I rest in time, but I am resting in a particular place. And therefore, the first thing which I think is important to realize is that the laws of the sabbatical year apply only in the land of Israel. And that, in fact, what this is doing is taking the concept of Shabbat, which at its core is independent of any place, but is exclusively a concept in time. At its core is something which is an obligation of the individual. And now extending it in terms of place to the sabbatical year, which applies only in the land of Israel, and at its core is a communal obligation. And therefore, when we have a community, a people, who do not work the land of Israel during the sabbatical year, it's a statement which is acknowledging that in fact the land belongs to God. We are not the owners of the land. And this is actually accentuated even more in the next section, which is the Jubilee year. And I'll just mention one point, verse chapter 25, verse 23, where it talks about the idea that in the Jubilee year, any land which is sold during the 49 years, reverts back to its original owner during the Jubilee year. Land can never be permanently sold. And that's a major theme of the Jubilee year. And in verse 23 it says, V'ha'aretz lo timacher litzmitut, and the land shall not be sold permanently, ki li ha'aretz, because the land is mine. And therefore, the idea of the land being ultimately the land that belongs to God is accentuated in the Jubilee year, but this concept is at the core of the sabbatical year. By my stopping to work the land, I acknowledge that ultimately God owns the land. I am not the owner of the land. I want to add another point over here. In the same way, on Shabbat, when I stop and I don't work on Shabbat, it's an acknowledgement that God is the creator, but it's also an expression of faith. The faith being that I will stop on Shabbat, but I can be provided for on Shabbat. And I can go back on Sunday and continue working, and my world is not going to fall apart. When I stop working the land on the sabbatical year, it's an expression of faith. I can stop working the land, and that God will in fact provide for me during the sabbatical year, so that I won't starve. And this idea is articulated in verse 20, where it says, V'chi tomru ma nochal bashana shviyit. And if you will ask, what will we eat in the seventh year? Hein lo nizra, behold, we have not planted. Lo nesof et fuatenu. And what do we have in terms of being able to gather up from our produce? In verse 21, it says, V'tziviti et birchati lachem bashana shishit. I will command my blessing to you in the sixth year, and you will have enough food in the sixth year that will be able to last you not only for the sixth, but for the seventh and even into the eighth, because if you didn't plant during the seventh, what are you going to eat during the eighth year? Until you begin planting again. Which therefore means the sabbatical year, as I said a moment ago, is an act of faith. And the act of faith is the realization that ultimately it is God who provides for me, not me. It could be a very natural tendency for a person to feel that they can actually control their destiny. All that I have to do is be energetic. All I have to do is work. And if I work the land, I will guarantee that I will be provided for. With the flip side being, if I don't work, then I'll starve to death. And the point of the sabbatical year is to impress upon a person, ultimately, your sustenance is given to you by God. On the one hand, God is telling you work during the 6 years. But on the other hand, God is telling you don't work on the seventh. And the same God who gives you a blessing during the 6 years, will provide for you on the seventh year as well. This is the idea behind Shabbat Lashem. There are some people who want to argue, the Ramban, for example, among them, that Shabbat Lashem has another dimension, which is, in the same way that we discussed last week, if a person doesn't work on Shabbat day, that frees them up to engage in other work, i.e. spiritual activity. So that if during the week they're involved in working with the world, the material world, on Shabbat they can now dedicate themselves to the spiritual, the same can be said of the sabbatical year. 6 years we work the physical world. In the seventh year, that frees us to be able to now have a new vista to explore our spirituality so that Shabbat Lashem can be a day when we now go take a year off and study. And to a great extent, this is perhaps the basis of what we generally know as the sabbatical year in terms of people who are in universities who will take a sabbatical where they need to somehow recharge their batteries and to be able to now have a change of pace and do something else that will challenge them intellectually, spiritually. That's the idea of Shabbat Lashem. During the sabbatical year, what are we prohibited in doing? The operating principle is anything which improves the land, you're not allowed to do. Planting, plowing, harvesting, any other type of activity which will increase the productivity of the land, I'm not allowed to do. On the other hand, those types of activities which will just maintain the status quo of the land, prevent the land from going into decay, that I'm allowed to do. so that the purpose of the sabbatical year is that I don't improve the land, but in no way is it to in fact be to the detriment of the land. And this leads me into the second aspect of the sabbatical year. It says that the sabbatical year is Shabbaton la'aretz, a sabbatical year to the land. And I want to now go into the next verse to illustrate what that means. When in verse 6 it says, V'hayta Shabbat ha'aretz lachem lo'ochla l'cha ula'avdecha v'lamatecha. But I want to focus on the idea of this cessation of the land will be to you to eat. There are a number of rabbinic comments on the word to eat. One, for example, which appears in Psachim, in the Talmud, in Psachim 52b, which says, Lo ochla to eat, v'lo lehefseid, and not for loss. In Sukkah, on 40a, 40b, it says, Lo ochla v'lo lemishra, to eat and not to soak, not to launder. And from this, and then we have another drash, or maybe just let me add one more drash, which says, Lo ochla v'lo lischora, to eat and not for business. And therefore, the rabbis derived from the idea of Lo ochla a number of laws which are very interesting. First, any produce which is from the sabbatical year is to be eaten, not to be thrown out. What happens if you take a bite out of something and decide you don't particularly like it? If it's sabbatical fruit, you have to continue eating it. You're not allowed to just say, oh, I don't like it, let me throw it out. Or I'm full, I have leftovers. Sabbatical fruit is meant to be eaten and not to be discarded. And why? Because this is an acknowledgement of the holiness of sabbatical food. And perhaps I should maybe backtrack for a moment. Fruit, for example, that grows in the sabbatical year, you're allowed to eat. And you're allowed to, quote unquote, harvest it. It's not something which you planted in the sabbatical year, it grew by itself. What you're not allowed to do with fruit that grows in the sabbatical year is l'schora. You're not allowed to harvest it in such a way that you market it. But you're allowed to collect it, to pick it off the tree for your personal consumption. And it's meant to be consumed. It's not meant to be discarded. And this has to do with a concept of Kedushat Shvi'it, the holiness of produce that grows in the sabbatical year. Because this produce is seen as being holy, then it should be treated just like sacrifices. In the same way that sacrifices are not thrown out, but they're meant to be eaten, those parts that are to be eaten, so too with fruits that grow during the sabbatical year. In the same way that holy objects are not commercial objects, that's true of the sabbatical fruit. In the same way it mentions, they're not to be used for laundry purposes, for medicinal purposes. The idea is, you're supposed to take everything which grows in the sabbatical year, which you're allowed to consume, and to then maximize its usage. If it's something that's meant to be eaten, eat it. If it's something that is not necessarily meant to be eaten, but can be used in terms of producing medicines or in terms of laundering agents, then use it for that purpose. But no matter what purpose you use it for, make sure it's the maximal usage you can have. There's another law, by the way, also of sabbatical year fruit. And that is, you're allowed to eat it only in the land of Israel. You're not allowed to eat it outside the land of Israel. Which means that, in fact, exporting Jaffa oranges during a sabbatical year is very problematic. What's the point of this? The sabbatical year is trying to highlight that one year, that what grows in the land is holy, and therefore I should have a certain relationship to the land. A relationship that recognizes this is holy and that tries to maximize the usage of what it produces. And I want to digress for one moment. This law would be at the heart of what we would call Jewish ecology, because it's reflecting a relationship between people and the land. The land is not just some object, which is mine, which I can do with whatever I want. If I want to use it, I can use it. If I want to discard it, I discard it. If I want to pollute it, I can pollute it, because it's mine. The sabbatical year is saying, first of all, the land is not yours, it's God's. God gave it to you as a sacred trust. As such, recognize the holiness of the land. Recognize that the land is there to be able to service you, to maximize your enjoyment. Use it in that way. Don't waste. Don't destroy. And therefore, one who acknowledges the holiness of the land will be very careful how they deal with the produce of the land. So that one who observes the sabbatical year is acknowledging a very profound relationship with the land as a relationship of trust and care. I'd even go so far as an I-thou relationship, which therefore means I have to take great care in how I deal with the land and its produce. Even on the most basic level of not working the land, it's the idea that maybe the land needs to rest also. It needs to recharge its batteries. It's not there for me to just deplete it. And that's why, in fact, during the sabbatical year, we're allowed to do those types of activities that maintain the status quo and prevent the land from decaying. Because the whole idea of the sabbatical year is to highlight the significance and the holiness of the land rather than to destroy it. And now I come to the third element, which is Shabbat Ha'aretz Lachem. It's a sabbatical year of the land to you. And who is you? Lecha, la'avdecha, la'amatecha, l'schircha. There's a list in verse 6. In verse 7, you, your servant, your maid, your hired hand, your resident, the animals. The sabbatical year is expressing a third idea, which is one of equality. During the sabbatical year, we're all equal. And in fact, there's actually a specific halakha that reflects this. During the sabbatical year, you're not allowed to fence off your property. Everyone is supposed to have equal access to your property so that if there are things which grow there, they should be allowed to now come and take for their personal consumption. And everyone means not only people, but animals as well. And therefore, if 6 years of the cycle, I'm a capitalist, in the seventh year, I'm a socialist. With the idea being that the seventh year should create that sense of social bonding, social equality. So that, if I were to go back now and summarize what we just did, the first idea behind the sabbatical year is to acknowledge the land is God's. Recognize, not only in the sabbatical year, but every year as a result of that, that whatever you have is a gift to you from God. You are not the owner. You have been given a charge. You are a trustee. Recognize that God is the one who's the owner, which on the one hand creates a sense of humility, but on the other hand is empowering, because it's also saying, and God will bless you, God will provide for you. Second idea, recognize the holiness of the land. Recognize that the land is there to serve you, but at the same time, you should be now maximizing the potential of that land. You should make sure that whatever grows from that land, you use to its fullest usage. You should make sure that you don't overwork the land, but work it in such a way that enhances it. And here I want to just insert, and especially this is true of the land of Israel. Recognize that this is a gift that we were given by God that's precious, and how we should value it and try to preserve it in every way. And then the third thing, Lachem. Recognize that we are all equally creatures of God. And that the seventh year is very important, that we break down the fences, break down the barriers, and begin to see what we all have in common. It's an opportunity to now bring the community together, and not only the community, but even to bring us together with the animal world. So that if you take all these concepts together, the sabbatical year is fascinating in that it's pushing a person to look beyond themselves. If it's a natural human tendency to be very much self-centered, self-focused, to be always looking at how do I maximize myself, my profit, to always want to feel empowered, that I'm in control. The sabbatical year is now telling you, look outside of yourself and realize that you're just a cog in a much larger reality, which begins with God, which is extended to the land, to the people around you, and to the animals. Know your place. In a number of podcasts, I have discussed this dialectic of majesty and humility. And it seems to be that the dynamics of the sabbatical year do the same thing. 6 years I work, 6 years I see myself as someone who's in control. The seventh year I step back and experience the humility. The two need to always complement and balance each other. The sabbatical year is an extremely beautiful concept. Unfortunately, historically, it has not been fulfilled in most of Jewish history. And right now, our time is too short to be able to discuss what is currently done in Israel. But I would just like to take this last opportunity to quote a statement that I heard many years ago during a sabbatical year from someone who is a leading economist in Israel. His name is Meir Tamari, who once spoke about the idea of a Jewish economy. And I want to end with this. He said that many people raise the question, nowadays, is it possible for us to observe the sabbatical year? And there are many, many practical issues which are raised against it. And especially given what I said earlier about the sabbatical year, where technically you're not allowed to export produce, and especially given the fact that our agriculture is very much export-oriented, So the idea is, it's just not practical. We can't observe it. And what he said at the time, which resonates with me now to this very day, is the following. It's important for people to realize that an economic system is a means rather than an end. There's no such thing as the ideal economy. Every economic system is created in order to promote a vision, a value system. And therefore, you have to ask yourself, what is the value system that is important to you? And now, what's the economic structure that promotes it? And therefore, what I have tried to do in this podcast is to show you the value system that Judaism sees. A value system which is, number one, rooted in God. A value system which sees how God is the source of our blessing, how God is the owner of the land, how the land is a sacred trust. A value system that tells us to not focus on ourselves, but to be able to see beyond ourselves and to have a sense of responsibility to God, to the land, to the people around us. If these, in fact, are critical values, and if the sabbatical year highlights these values, then maybe we have to think creatively, carefully. How can we overcome the technical problems to be able to implement the sabbatical year? It would be very unfortunate to throw the baby out with the bathwater because of practical considerations, to then lose that vision and lose those set of values. The sabbatical year can go a long way in making us into a model nation, into a nation that is not focused just on the individual and just looking to promote the pursuit of individual fulfillment, but a nation that is able to get us to see beyond our individuality and to look at the other. If we can learn those lessons, then perhaps we can also find a way of implementing the sabbatical year and make it a year which can, in fact, give us another dimension on life, recharge our batteries, and help us create a much better world. Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you, Rabbi Schweiger. Please tell your friends about this podcast series, and please let us know your thoughts and comments. Send us email via podcast@pardesusa.org. Thanks to Dr. David Bernstein, who is the executive producer of the Pardes from Jerusalem podcast series. Shalom and goodbye from Jerusalem.